Module 1, Where to Start. As Walt Disney said, it all begins first with a dream. What makes the speaking profession fascinating to me is that every speaker is unique. Not only do speakers have different experiences, stories, and expertise, but speakers also desire to speak for a variety of reasons. Just as no audience is the same, no speaker is the same. With that in mind, never compare yourself to another speaker and then think that you are not good enough. You are unique and you have experiences and expertise that no one else does. I applaud you for opening this book, and I'm looking forward to hearing how you are using this roadmap to grow your own speaking business. The greatest inventions of all time have a common denominator, a vision with the end in mind. That vision was achieved because someone eventually broke it down into actionable goals with strategic legs and timelines. A career in speaking is no different. The journey must start with vision first. You have to have a vision, a dream, for what you want to accomplish through speaking. It's impossible to achieve a dream if you don't know what that dream clearly looks like. For me personally, my vision for speaking was born by watching Zig Ziglar, a phenomenal speaker, and you listen to my story in the author's preface. Watching Zig, I said to myself, I want to do that. Zig helped me establish a vision for doing exactly what he was doing. That vision anchored my planning for years as I worked extremely hard to build my speaking business. Even when I finally met my speaking goals, I envisioned higher goals so that I would continue growing. Even now, I continue to create new visions for my speaking career. These visions are what guide and motivate me to stretch my speaking goals further and to perpetually advance. If I don't vision something, I don't make it a goal. Having a vision for speaking is imperative for your speaking success. You have to begin with the end in mind. The clearer your vision for speaking, the more likely you will achieve that outcome. So next are a series of broad questions to help you attain clarity on what your vision to become a speaker looks like. As you reflect and answer these questions, picture yourself being 5 years old and feeling as if anything is possible. Do not put limits on yourself. The clearer and more descriptive your visions are, the more likely you will attain them. And as a reminder, the worksheets on my website, paytospeak.biz/worksheets, are designed to help you reflect and answer these questions as well. Think about your overall vision for speaking. What do you want to accomplish through speaking? Envision you just completed a speech. One of the attendees approaches you afterward and gives you amazing feedback about your presentation. What will they be saying? Do you envision yourself speaking full-time where speaking is your primary income? Do you envision being hired to speak, or is your speaking designed to market a product or service that you offer, such as training, consulting, or coaching? How do you want to inspire others through speaking? Do you want to speak in front of large audiences, 500 to 1,000 plus? Or do you prefer speaking in smaller group audiences, underneath 100? Or both? Describe your average audience participant. Who are they? What frequency of speaking would you like? Twice a week, once a month? Are you bound by geography, or would you be open to traveling across the country or globe and anywhere you are asked to speak? Note, unless you plan to listen to this book again, it is recommended that you do not continue until you have reflected and answered these previous questions. As simple as they sound, your clarity for speaking is the foundation for everything else in this book. You can't hit a target you do not see. And if you're not sure what your goals are, there's no better time than right now to figure that out. To help you get serious about your future speaking, please go back and answer these questions before continuing onward. Okay, great. The questions I've just asked you are designed to help you get your creative juices flowing. Exploring the possibilities as well as identifying any limitations for your speaking career is fundamental to your success. Let me provide you with a real-life example of why defining the boundaries of your vision is so paramount. A few years ago, I invited one of my speaker coaching clients to join me on an upcoming speaking tour. I had been booked for 3 consecutive days of speaking with different groups, and I thought it would be invaluable for this person to experience all the behind-the-scenes details with three completely different types of audiences. The plan was to fly in on Sunday evening, speak to one group on Monday, speak to another on Tuesday, another on Wednesday, and fly back home Wednesday evening. The first day of speaking was exciting. We had flown in the night before and had a one-hour drive from the airport. We each woke that morning at 6 a.m. to be on-site at the client conference and ready by 10 a.m. The keynote was scheduled for noon, and it went phenomenally well with a very receptive audience. Following the keynote, we had 2 hours of book sales and mingling in the conference hotel lobby. Finally, at about 3 p.m., we packed up and began the 2-hour drive to the next day's presentation city. We checked into the hotel near 5:30 p.m. and then visited the conference center ballroom where the following day's morning keynote was going to take place. Speaker tip: always view your location and venue setting as far in advance as possible. It will help you with visioning your speech delivery. At about 7:30 p.m., we relaxed and strategized over dinner. I then returned to my room to review my notes for the next day's keynote and the breakout sessions, and went to bed at about 11 p.m. I was downstairs in the ballroom the following morning by 6:45 a.m. and ready to greet the meeting planner and AV tech staff who arrived at 7 a.m. By 7:30 a.m., we finished our sound check. I then mingled around the room with my coaching client until the conference kicked off at 10 a.m. My keynote was an opening keynote presentation. The keynote went extremely well, and the audience seemed quite engaged. We spent the following 2 hours on book sales and book signings. Then there was a conference lunch followed by 2 breakout workshops that I had agreed to facilitate at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. The conference concluded by 4:30 p.m., and we were packed up and leaving by 6. We hit the road and drove 3 hours to the next city, arriving that evening at about 9 p.m. After checking into the hotel and visiting the ballroom where the conference was to be held, we ate a late dinner and were back in our separate hotel rooms by 11 p.m. I stayed up until 1 a.m. reviewing the morning's keynote and additional breakout presentation. Just like the day before, I woke up that Wednesday morning at 5:30 a.m. to be downstairs and ready by 6:45 a.m. for the 11 a.m. keynote presentation. Wednesday's keynote also went extremely well, and I facilitated my breakout session from 2 to 3 p.m. Following the breakout session, we mingled for a bit and then packed up near 4 p.m. We drove 2 hours to catch our evening flight back from Texas to North Carolina. While waiting for our flight, I was surprised to hear my coaching client talk about how exhausted he was. He says, "Kevin, I did not expect this to be so much work. These were 15-hour days." I kept silent. I finally responded to him, smiling, "It's not work when you love what you do. Speaking will be the toughest job you ever love." I then reminded him that I didn't have any speaking engagements booked until the following week, so technically I just worked a 3-day week. And not that money motivated him or I, but I also reminded him that those 3 speaking engagements paid me $22,000. During our coaching call the following week, we talked about how he was feeling. I wasn't surprised to hear that he was having second thoughts about speaking. Experiencing all the pre-logistics and on-site details seemed to have overwhelmed and intimidated him. He also shared with me that he did not want to travel that intense or be that far away from his family for more than 1 day a week. Even though he felt stuck in his day job and had a bad boss, it was less risky. I share this story with you for a variety of reasons. Know that speaking requires incredible investment and work up front. Building your paid speaking business will likely be one of the toughest things you have ever done. But it's no different than starting any type of business, whether you want to be a baker or an attorney or launch a startup business of any kind. It's also really no different than starting any new job. Every career and occupation has an intimidating startup phase that requires a learning curve. Like being a successful business owner, there are aspects of a speaking business you might not want to do, but that can't mean you can ignore what's required. Speakers are entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurship can feel exhausting at times. But would you rather work for a boss, or would you rather be your own boss? Would you rather have a day job or live a dream job? Speaking is one of the few professions that every time you do it, you could be changing people's lives. This is why beginning with the end in mind is so crucial. You have to work through the beginning stages of building any type of business. You have to work through the beginning stages of its learning curve. You have to work through the intimidation factor and the imposter syndrome that you might encounter. All the work becomes less work the more you do it because you put systems in place. So let's reframe your speaking aspirations as a new adventure that will help you break through any limitation and glass ceiling you might face working for someone else instead. Yes, yeah, some weeks will just seem crazy. You might be prepping for one speaking gig right after the other. Some days you might be speaking two or three times. Then you might have a week or two completely off in between speaking engagements. That might seem exciting and appealing now, but when you're in the moment, tired from traveling and having to be on and off, it can seem daunting. But then you receive emails from people in your audience writing you. But then you receive emails from people in your audience stating that you changed their life, like Kelly shared with me when I was first getting started in speaking. Then you receive inquiries for speaking because people talked about how amazing you were. Then you receive a check in the mail for $5,000 or $10,000 or even higher. These are the things I hope you will focus on because they make everything worth it. And by the way, the coaching client I mentioned earlier didn't quit even though he wanted to. I was able to help him circle back to his why for speaking and why it was so important to him. He is a successful speaker now, averaging fees close to mine. I'm so proud of him. He quit his day job so he could live a dream job. This is one reason why coaching and support is so crucial for anyone who is serious about living life to the fullest and taking advantage of opportunities. Be clear about what your vision for speaking looks like. Do you have geographic or schedule limitations? Are you able to travel? Do you want to travel? If you have a full-time job, will you have flexibility 1 to 2 times per month for speaking? Do you desire to speak just once per week, or would you prefer to only travel once or twice per month? These are all extremely important factors. So what is professional speaking? Although the focus of this book will be on keynote speaking, you can be paid to speak in a variety of formats. For example, I've been hired as a keynote speaker for hundreds of conferences and special events. I've also been paid to be an MC, small group workshop presenter, full-day retreat leader, board meeting facilitator, and even have presented public speaking seminars for organizational leaders and their internal employees. When people see you speak and they are captivated by your energy and content, they will be thinking of creative ways to use you. You want them thinking, wow, this speaker will be great for our blank. Point is that you could be hired to speak in a variety of formats, venues, and environments. Be prepared for random requests once people start seeing you speak. Keynote speaking is unique because people are listening to you and only you for a specified period of time. Most likely, you'll be on a stage or at least in front of a large room, and you'll be speaking for roughly an hour. You might be asked to speak for less or more time depending on venue, environment, and objective. Audience sizes can range as well, from a handful of 15 to 20 people to thousands. When I speak at conferences, my most common audience size ranges from 400 to 600 people. My largest audience has topped 5,000, and my smallest was 3 attendees. I was paid the same amount for both keynote speeches, and it was the same speech. As I will explain in later modules, I have a daily fee regardless of attendee size, speech length, and location. Professional speakers do not get paid by the hour. As you will hear in modules 3 and 4, speaking fees are determined by scope of customization and additional services provided. A large percentage of my speaking business comes from offering additional value beyond just a keynote speech or a single training. Meeting planners and event organizers usually inquire with me about presenting just a keynote. But when they find out I can offer them much more, they become even more interested. Not only do they select me over another speaker, but I end up getting paid even more. Regardless of the type of speech you are asked to give, there are core fundamentals that any keynote, training workshop, or retreat must incorporate. The fundamentals of any presentation must be, number one, that it's extremely engaging and it connects with the audience. Number two, it shares a powerful, relevant message. Number three, it integrates personal and relative stories and examples. And number four, it leaves attendees with an empowering call to action. Module two in this book will help you integrate these fundamentals in your speech. For now, though, just know how important they are. This segment will provide three questions to ensure that your speaking foundation is built correctly on these fundamentals just listed. Through experiences of my own and many others, I have found that being able to answer these questions will keep you focused on not only developing a tailored program that gets referrals, but also identifying the best industries and organizations for you to seek speaking engagements. If I had focused on the following three questions years ago, I would have been much more successful in significantly less time. When I realized the importance of the answers to these three questions, my speaking business exploded. Question number one, what problem do you want to help others solve? As a speaker, you are not being hired to speak. Rather, you are hired to help an audience solve a specific or series of problems. It's about your message and how the content empowers the attendees with problem-solving strategies they can apply in their own situation. You will be developing your presentation around your overall message of how you will help them solve a problem. Most speakers do not realize they are expected to be professional problem solvers. Instead, they focus on what they want to speak about. Speaking on a specific topic but not addressing the problem of that topic are two different things. Most meeting planners and executives who hire speakers are seeking experts who will help them solve problems, not just talk about a particular topic. For example, one of my speaking topics is employee engagement. Although I address various aspects of employee engagement and motivation throughout my program, the signature problem I am helping professionals at all levels address is why 73% of employees are disengaged in the workforce, which leads to low morale and increased turnover. Through my program, attendees will learn techniques and strategies to empower themselves and those around them, leading to increased motivation, performance, and bottom line results. See the difference? The speaker coaching clients I work with often struggle with becoming crystal clear on the problem they want to help audiences solve. They're more focused on what they talk about rather than the problem they will be helping people solve. It's not easy to understand this differentiation, but it's crucial because successful speakers not only understand it, they promote it. And the clearer you are in your problem-solving abilities, the more likely you will be perceived by others as a credible expert in your field. Now, either in the worksheet that I provided for you or on a notepad, reflect now to describe the specific problem you want to help your ideal audience solve. Complete the following sentence. The signature problem I will be helping my audiences solve is, I do not recommend continuing onward until you can complete that sentence. Okay, assuming you have completed that sentence, now question two. What makes you different as compared to another speaker on a similar topic? There are lots of speakers, but only one you. How you are different is how you will be remembered. Your uniqueness is part of what differentiates you. Be different. Be so good they cannot forget you. As I previously mentioned, share a unique story that only you have, or share something proprietary that you coined or created that no one else has. Sharing information that someone can find online isn't unique or proprietary. Or perhaps, like a good TED talk, you have a unique, uncommon angle on something common that will ensure that you stand out. Not only does a speaker's content need to be unique, but their delivery needs to be unique as well. If you watch any of my keynotes or demo videos, and you can on kevincsnyder.com, you will realize that I differentiate myself through audience engagement, energetic delivery, and humor. I wasn't very engaging or humorous starting off, but I've developed that craft through repetition. The reason my audiences laugh is because I have practiced what makes them laugh hundreds of times. Meeting planners and executives book me now because they've either seen me speak or heard about me delivering a great problem-solving message in a high-energy manner. So point is for you to reflect and think about the various ways you can be unique. Or what are the ways you already are unique that people share with you? Now reflect, what makes you feel different from other speakers on a similar topic? Answer this question, what differentiates you? For example, I've been called the Price is Right guy to my face countless times, behind my back, likely thousands. But that's a good thing because people remember me for that story. As you listened in the preface, that story of being on The Price is Right literally launched my speaking career. I've been stopped on campuses, at conferences, and even in airports by people asking, "You're that speaker who was on The Price is Right." My story of being on The Price is Right isn't about how to win on a game show. Rather, it's about how to live a dream. Thousands of other people have been on The Price is Right, but no one on this planet has my signature story. It's what makes me different, just like you and your story. Our story anchors our message. Our story helps liven our speeches and keeps the presentation engaging. And your story doesn't have to be about sailing solo around the world or climbing Mount Everest. Of course, those achievements help, but very few speakers have them. In other words, most successful speakers do not have achievement-laced stories that precede them. I didn't understand this until a few years ago. I wish I understood it much sooner in my speaking career because I would not have doubted myself so much. My experience on The Price is Right was a hidden gem. I didn't even know how incredible that story was until others told me it was one of the best stories they'd ever heard. Meaning it took others to help me realize that I was sitting on a story that would ultimately launch my professional speaking career. I'm confident you have a great story that aligns with your overall message and problem for helping your audiences. The challenge for you is to discover it, or perhaps decipher which story to use. Most speakers starting out have too many stories that compete for attention and might confuse the audience. Or they think they have a great story, but they just haven't packaged it the right way that captures all the elements needed in a professional speech. One story, a signature story, is the best one to use because it sticks. Now's your time to reflect on some of your life and career stories that have impacted you. Reflect on those now and write them down if you're following along in the worksheet. What is your signature Price is Right story? Meaning, what one single story stands out in your life that has the most meaning? Now, how can you use that story to help people in your audience solve the problem you identified earlier? Now, here's question number 3. What is your call to action? This is by far where most speakers, even professionals, fall painfully short. What do you want your audiences to do differently as a result of hearing your message? Your call to action is what clearly inspires attendees to take action towards something. Most speakers I have seen do not have a clear call to action, or any at all. In order for your attendees to know what your call to action is, you must tell them specifically. Do not let them wonder. Be transparently clear. If your presentation does not inspire them to make a change in their personal life and/or business, then you've wasted your time. More importantly, you've wasted theirs, and as a not-so-surprising result, the likelihood of you getting referrals and spin-off speaking inquiries will be minimal. So now's your time to reflect. What are some of the action steps you would like your attendees to do differently as a result of hearing you speak? Reflect on these. And if you're following along in the worksheet, write down now. Now from that list of action steps you just identified, write your single most important call to action now. Now, of those action steps, reflect on those. Write your single most important call to action now. Our next segment will address one of the most common questions you will ever receive as a speaker. That question is, so what do you speak on? Envision this scenario of you and I sitting next to each other on a plane. I'm a professional meeting planner for a major association and you are a speaker. We have just met. We make small talk for a few moments and then exchange names 1 hour into the flight. The likely question I'm going to ask you at some point is, so what do you do? This is one of the ultimate questions you need to be prepared for as a speaker. You reply that you are a speaker, and after hearing your response, I'll likely inquire further. Oh, really? You're a speaker. So, what do you speak on? You look away to the left, then back at me, responding, well, I speak about... insert your topic. I'll likely probe a bit further because I have a need for a speaker at our upcoming convention. So I'll ask, well, what about business leadership? Well, you reply again. Our exchange begins to fade away this quickly, and also my interest in you as the speaker. When I hear the words, well, it makes a statement far greater than the statement itself. Do not let this happen to you. Be prepared. You very likely just lost an opportunity for a speaking engagement because you do not seem to be clear on your own speaking topic. If I were a professional meeting planner or conference organizer, your lack of an answer tells me that you are likely not the professional speaker I need for my big event coming up. However, if you were prepared to answer that question, you'd immediately capture my interest and likely close the deal. Point is, know what it is you speak on and anticipate that question. Also, be able to answer that question in one sentence or less. I cannot count the number of times I've been asked, "What do you speak on?" This question always arises whether I'm on an airplane, at a conference where attendees have not seen me speak yet, waiting in line at random locations, at a networking event, etc. This is by far the most common question I receive. Let's assume now that the roles are reversed, and I am sitting next to you on that plane. You ask me, "So what do you speak on?" I would answer that question in a way that would compel you to further inquire with yet another question. The more you talk and inquire, the better. My reply, "My programs help people and organizations think differently to achieve new results." What would your response be to my answer? Likely your response would be something that inquires further. Interesting, tell me more. Who are some of the groups you speak to? What are some of the topics that you speak on? How did you get into speaking? Important. Depending on who I think you are will likely determine my answer. It also depends where we are. For example, if we are at a professional conference for a certain industry, at a local networking event with business entrepreneurs, or at a collegiate leadership conference, I will at least vaguely know what type of career you are in. Therefore, my responses might be, "I speak on topics of leadership and innovation that help organizations empower their employees." Or I might say, "I speak to college students about how to identify their passions in life and be exceptional leaders." My call to action for you is this. Prepare in advance for the question, "So what do you speak on?" And always leave them with the desire to ask you more. So now, write down what are three ways you could answer that question. So what do you speak on? Module 1 Review. In this module, you have gained clarity in your vision for speaking, forecasted possible speaking limitations, reflected on what problem you will help audiences solve, begun to discover what differentiates you as a speaker, understood the power of your message and your signature story, identified what your call to action will be, and developed a powerful answer when you are asked, "So what do you speak on?" If you have completed all the reflective questions in this module to your own satisfaction, then congratulations, you are ready for module 2. However, if any portions are missing, I highly recommend you go back and complete them now. You will not be following my pay-to-speak blueprint by speeding through this book. Remember, what you are reading is designed to be a coaching manual to help you grow your speaking business. Be your own accountability coach and complete the activities if you have not done so already. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it again? And as a reminder, one more time, download those free worksheets on my website, paidtospeak.biz/worksheets. Password, paid to speak. If you find yourself stuck or need some help working through any module, reach out to me for help or questions. I offer discounted coaching for listeners of this book. Also, check out The Vault, which provides access to all my tools and templates for my speaking business. For more information on The Vault, visit paidtospeak.biz/vault.